We're just going to pray for Luke as he brings us the word. Oh, Father, we are so privileged, Lord, that you'd partner with us, Lord, that you could do it all yourself, Father, but you ask us to be your hands and your feet, Lord. What a privilege it is to be able to partner with a God who's so big, Lord. What a pleasure it is, Lord, to see what you do in people's lives, to see where you bring them from, where you take them, Lord, and how you use them so mightily, Lord. And again, not, Father, because we've done anything to deserve it, but because you are good, Lord. Thank you that we find out more about you, we learn more about you, and we are in tune with what you are doing, Lord. Father, we just ask that as you use Luke today, as he becomes your mouthpiece, Lord, to bring your word, Lord, that our hearts be receptive of that message, Lord. That it won't just be a good message, but it will be one that changes our hearts, Lord, changes how we view the world, Lord, and brings us closer to you, Father. So, Father, we just ask that your Holy Spirit bring him peace and joy, Lord, as he does your work today. Father, would you allow everything that comes out of his mouth be from your will, Lord, and nothing from himself. We thank you, Jesus. Amen.
Thank you, Wes. Good morning. Right, so today is going to be a fun one. As always, we're going to be talking about divide and conquer. Why? Because divide and conquer, it's the oldest trick in the book. In nature, we're given some really, really good examples by predators. We'll take lions, or rather lionesses, because lions are lazy bums. They have dinner brought to them every day, because that's the way God intended it, isn't it? Anyway, they separate the young from the young and the weak from the herds, and then they go for the kill. Divided from the herd, the poor creature meets its demise. It's the perfect plan. It's been used over and over, and even overused, but ultimately it's been refined since creation. When I say it's the oldest trick in the book, it really is. When God created Adam and Eve, life was perfect. I don't think we could really, I mean, we can try, but I don't think we can really fully appreciate that sort of perfection. No sin, no hunger, no stress, no jealousy, no greed, no lust, no pain. Wouldn't that one be nice? They walked with God in absolute harmony in such a beautiful relationship. And then, as we know, it all went pear-shaped or apple-shaped, but it's a fruit. So Genesis 3, 1-5, if you take a look at that, it says, "Now the serpent was more cunning than any beast of the field, which the Lord God had made. And he said to the woman, 'Has God indeed said, you shall not eat of every tree of the garden?' And the woman said to the serpent, 'We may eat the fruit of the trees in the garden. But the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God has said, you shall not eat it, nor shall you touch it, lest you die.' Then the serpent said to the woman, 'You will not surely die. For God knows that in the day you eat of it, your eyes will be opened, and you will be like God, knowing good and evil.'" Sneaky, sneaky guy. Satan didn't totally lie. It was more of a trick. He tricked Eve. He saw a crack. He sought to divide man from God. Adam and Eve did not become like God, but they sure did know the difference between good and evil from that moment on. And it's been passed down from generation to generation ever since. They hid themselves from the presence of God because they were aware of sin. It had been introduced. They had been divided from living in perfect harmony with God by the trick that they had fallen for. And for their sin, they ultimately would, as God told them, have to face death. And that was 6,000 years ago. So the divide and conquer is a method that is used to gain or keep power from another. We are bombarded with it daily, so much so that we probably don't even realize it most of the time. You can divide an opinion, And then you can control the narrative of that opinion. It's being separated from the truth, or the truth being distorted to fit a narrative. God created the heavens and the earth in 6 days. Really? Not a chance. There was an explosion somewhere. And that happened in the far corners of the universe. Everything just whizzed around and collided and magically somehow landed in the right place, that life could grow, that plants and animals and humans could evolve from teeny tiny little cells and organisms, and that would all exist in perfect harmony by chance. Lies. They cannot prove that theory, and yet it's still being believed, it's still being taught to our children, the lie is still being punted to us. And why? Because people have been removed from the Word of God. The church was also being divided from its heritage. Who was Jesus? He was a Jew. He wasn't a Westerner. Isn't that shocking? So don't for a second believe it's a coincidence that most of the world has cast the Jews aside, constantly trying through the ages to pit the world against the Jews, to prevent the coming of the Messiah, and to prevent the second coming of the Messiah. If only there was a way we could get the entire world against the Jews. Well, replacement theology. So many Christians today still believe that as believers in Jesus, we replace the Jews as God's chosen people. Don't be deceived. We are not. Jesus is our Lord. He is our Savior. But the apple of his eye? It's the Jews. Jeremiah 31:33. For this covenant that I will make with the house of Israel after those days, declares the Lord, I will put my law within them, and I will write it on their hearts, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. And how about our lives in general? Are we double-minded? I'm sure Satan's quite happy if we compartment our lives into the secular and the sacred. We can come to church on a Sunday, we can praise the Lord, and right after that, we go back to living with the worldview of society until next Sunday. Lacquer. Sunday is done. I've finished. I've prayed. I've listened to some guy talk about Jesus. We sang a bit. Do we have a tendency to doubt the promises that are made? It exposes cracks in our lives. It creates two lives that gives wiggle room for doubt, for sneaky things to creep in and wreak havoc in our minds. James 1:5-8 says, if any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask God, who gives it generously to all without reproach, and it will be given to him. But let him ask in faith, with no doubting, for the one who doubts is like a wave in the sea that is driven and tossed around by the wind. For that person must not suppose that he will receive anything from the Lord, for he is double-minded and unstable in his ways. See, all of these things, they're so incredibly, incredibly clever. Propaganda is the order of the day. How many movies are we watching that have broken homes, mixed gender couples, adultery is completely normalized? That's right, lead us away from God's order. So, I love playing with words. It annoys my family sometimes, but they do tolerate me. But play with me for a second here. TV, short for television. Tell a vision. We're being shown the vision the world wants us to see. And channels, well, what are we channeling? And what's on those channels? Programs, to program us. To put thoughts and words in our minds and in our hearts. It's subtle things, but they're hidden in plain sight. We are subconsciously and purposefully being divided from God's word, listening to false doctrine. I hope we're not all believing it. If the last 4 to 5 years are anything to go by, we are being divided like never before. Blame whatever medium you like. Again, love that word, medium. Is it not appropriate here too? The mainstream news is one avenue. But social media is lightning fast, where everybody has an opinion, and they will smite you if you disagree with them. It only takes a quick internet search to see who owns all of these platforms, all of these news outlets, and you can immediately see where their loyalties lie. And it's not with us, it's not with God. So let's take, sorry to do this to you, but let's take our beloved COVID, because that was the last 4 to 5 years of our lives. I've never seen such rapid and rabid division in society. To mask or not to mask, to social distance or not to. And then the big one, to vaccinate or not to vaccinate. Anti-maskers and anti-vaxxers were labeled as heretics, as death cults, and were to be excommunicated from civilized society. I haven't seen such open hatred for people manifest overnight. It was done on purpose. We were, both sides, largely controlled. We were locked up in our houses. We were physically separated from our fellow man. And thanks to who? Who? The who, WHO. Exactly. And now we must all bow to the WHO and the WEF's 2030 agenda, where we need to reduce carbon emissions, which, by the way, also includes all natural meat, because cows fart, and that is very bad for the environment. Carbon, carbon, carbon. God created us, and we are a carbon-based life form. So what are they telling us? Are they reducing us too? You can answer that for yourself. I hope we have a little more righteous discernment when fear comes knocking on our door again with the next big thing. Let's exercise our inner Job. He was handed over to Satan to be tempted, tried, tested. There was major division in his life because of it, with friends and family begging him to give in, to dishonor God, to save himself from ridicule and pain. He was so incredibly faithful that while his friends and family fell for the division, Job refused to be divided for his love for and his faith in God. A while ago, we spoke about the full armor of God. Wes gave us a beautiful and in-depth look at what it is and what it means. So I'm not sure if you noticed, but there is only one offensive item. And I don't mean offensive like take offense by this. I mean, there is only one form of attack. It's the sword of the Spirit, the Word of God. When we're tempted, when we're presented with something that doesn't sit well with us, the most effective weapon that God has given to us as believers is the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. It can cut right through the rubbish if we're armed with that sword. Jesus modeled this so beautifully during his temptation in the wilderness. When the devil tried temptation after temptation against him, Jesus used the sword of the Spirit. When the devil tempted him 3 times, Jesus responded with the truth of God's word every time. Jesus could have given in and taken the easy road to have the whole world right then. But that would have been temporary. In having a full view of God's guiding word, it was the long game. It was eternity that he ultimately fought for. And now here's my question for you. What is the cure for division? I'll give you a clue in the prodigal son. Division's not the end, but what it does do, it gives us a shot at reconciliation. Us being divided from God by our sin, we have reconciliation through the Son, our grand reconciler, Jesus. He gives us a template for how we should tackle the wiles of the devil. Know your enemy and pull out your sword. But we also cannot defeat our enemy if we don't know our weapon and we don't know how to use our weapon. We need to use it with love, not to Bible bash. You know, don't go smacking people with your Bibles. The first part of Hosea 4, verse 6 says that my people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. Because you've rejected knowledge, I also will reject you from being priest for me. Knowledge is not only at our fingertips, but it's also freely available to us with the gift of the Holy Spirit. Luke 1:11 says, if you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him? So ask for it. Pray for it in earnest, and you'll receive. We all have spats. We have fights with our wives and husbands or friends. On the attack or on the defense, it never really feels that great if we look at it. If we're on the defense, we're trying to save our character, defend our actions, or hold our points of view. If we're the aggressors, we feel righteous and certain that our way is the right way and that you must do it this way or else. I am right. Me. And then the dust settles once we've all calmed our respective farms. And how beautiful is the reconciliation if we allow it. When we can come back together and build something stronger than what it was before, but also with greater understanding. So I'm not advocating that we go out and fight each other just so that we can build relationships. It seems a bit futile. So don't take that the wrong way. But coming back to a place where we can find love and harmony, as we should be yearning to get back to that place where it all started some 6,000 odd years ago, when man first walked alongside God in obedience, in joy, in freedom, without separation. And something else on my heart, which I think we need to move through quite swiftly, gently, but with love, and that's division in the church. Between 1618 and 1648, go history lessons, it was the 30 Years' War between the Protestants and the Catholic states. So I'm not going to go too deep into this for the sake of time, but it was ugly. The Holy Roman Empire was being divided. There were cracks, power struggles, domineering people who wanted things their way. It was messy. It was one of the longest and most destructive conflicts in European history. Millions were killed. Weren't they all supposed to be Christians? Weren't they supposed to treat each other with love? So much for serving the same God. I wonder who was whispering in whose ear, who was being tempted with power, glory, and victory. It was simple division. We are all brothers and sisters in Christ, right? Just like, as we said earlier, our church, our little Craig's family church is not being divided. The Lord is enabling expansion of his church. Don't let little voices whisper in your ear. Don't let uncertainty creep in. Don't let unease, fear, or anger into your hearts. Don't let unity, brotherhood, and fellowship waver. This is amazing. It is a time of growth. It's an exciting season for us all. For we all share the same heart, the same love, and we break bread together of one body Jesus Christ. Romans 15, 1 to 6, it gives us a wonderful look at this. So we who are strong ought to bear with the failings of the weak and not to please ourselves. Each of us should please our neighbors for their good, to build them up. For even Christ did not please himself, as it is written, "The insults of those who insult you have fallen on me." For everything that was written in the past was written to teach us, so that through the endurance taught in the scriptures and the encouragement they provide, we might have hope. May the God who gives endurance and encouragement give you the same attitude of mind towards each other that Jesus had, so that with one mind and one voice you may glorify the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. I like that last one because it just reminds me of worship. I love it when we all get together and we just get up and sing, raise our voices. So let's be faithful to the Lord. Go forth and conquer division. Let's not allow ourselves to be divided from each other, divided in the church, divided in our homes. Most importantly, don't be divided from God. Let us also be sure to fit the helmet of salvation firmly on our heads, because the battlefield of our mind is the primary place the spiritual battle is fought, lost, and won. So we just bow our heads and pray for a moment. Lord, thank you so much for your grace. Thank you for what you have offered us. And thank you for putting people in our paths, Lord, that lead us and guide us through your ways. I know that for myself, I've been very blessed in this. And I know that if I have blessings, we all do. Lord, we come before you today, some of us broken in some areas, some of us looking for help, some of us looking for guidance. Some of us with ears that are open to listening to things we shouldn't be listening to watch things go by every day that we should be averting our eyes to. Let us be like little children, Lord. Let us not run to and fro. Let us look at you with open eyes, open hearts, open minds. Take in everything that you give us and allow you to protect us as our earthly parents protect us from things that we know are harmful. Lord, I just pray daily that we take stock of our lives and we look back to the Garden of Eden, that we should yearn for that, for the coming together with you in a holy place, in a beautiful place, in a place that is not separated from you and your love. You are with us always. Let us return that to you and try to be with you always. Thank you so much, Jesus, for this wonderful place, for this wonderful, wonderful life that you've given us. In Jesus' name, bless you, Lord. Amen.